Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
After the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. The Rockies are off today, back at it tomorrow against Washington. Joining me now, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies, and that is none other than Jerry Schimmel. Jerry, you got the day off today, man. What are you doing? Do we have Jerry? Did we lose him? Let's try this again, Jades. You let me know. We had the day off, and maybe he's getting a new phone. Maybe that's what's happening. Did he just hang? He just hung up on you. What? Jerry, he has such a reputation of being, you know, the nicest guy in the world. I can't imagine he's ever hung up on anybody. But we're the first ones that happens to. So we'll see if we can get him back on here. The weather does things. It messes with people. No doubt. Okay, now we have Jerry. Jerry Schimmel, are you there?
I'm here, Brady.
Jerry, you got the day off, man. What are you doing with yourself today?
I am catching up. This is the first day off we've had, 2.5 weeks or something like that. So I got a long list of things I'm getting done here at home and the stuff I've been putting off for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So just catching up on a rainy day here in Denver.
Sometimes, man, you got to have those, no question. Yep. And, hey, the Rockies get a break in a very good time. And I know the Reds are just awful, like historically bad. But I always say you got them in front of you. You got to take care of the teams on your schedule. And two out of the three games, just easy. I mean, just really easy. That second game, that middle game, was closer. But still, sweeping the Reds, big deal. And the Rockies finish the month of April 13-9. And looking ahead, I mean, maybe this month of May could be pretty good to them, too. But, Jerry, you told us a couple of weeks ago you like to really sit down and assess a team after that first month. Well, here we are, first month and change. The Rockies have a winning record.
Yeah, I think everybody's happy about that. I think it probably surprised some people. You never know when teams start, and they've had some very good Aprils in the past and haven't come through the rest of the season. But, you know, they played well in the second half of last year. I think with the winning record in April now, that's June, July, August, that's 5 straight months, I believe, or 4 anyway, with a winning record for this team. So, yeah, I think everybody's very optimistic coming into the season, and to start 13-9, I think everybody's happy. So, you're right. Great sweep over the weekend. I know the Reds are down, but you still got to take care of business, and they still got major league players on the other side. But the Rockies played very well in these three games.
All right. So, what are some of your bigger takeaways? I mean, I know I don't pay attention to the pitching records as much as I used to. It's not that I don't like it; it just doesn't mean as much. But Kyle Freeland, 1-3, I think he's a lot better than what 1-3 would typically tell you about somebody. He looked fantastic yesterday. He looked pretty good in that loss against the Phillies too. So Kyle Freeland, I think, has looked pretty good so far.
Yeah, I think other than a couple of outings, so there's a couple of times where he just didn't have his good stuff and had trouble getting guys out. And there was one game too, I think his second start, where he just had a lot of bad luck. There were flares all over the field, and they just kind of mushroom from there. But now, I pitched really well yesterday. That's not a devastating lineup that the Reds have put out there these days. But at the same time, he was just rolling, and he was efficient and getting ground balls, getting a few strikeouts. So, you know, it's interesting. He's got the team has 13 wins, and their top two pitchers have one win between them, Marquez and Freeland. I think it's 6 wins for the bullpen already. So, yeah, it might be 7. So, they haven't hit their stride with certain players. Chris Bryant really hasn't been a factor at all. Now he's hurt, and your top two pitchers have one win, and you're still at 13 wins. So I think there's just lots of reasons to be optimistic, Brady.
So, Jared, you kind of do feel like that then. Hey, we're not even seeing maybe some of the strengths that we're supposed to be showcasing for this team. We're not really even seeing those at this point. That right. Consistently, yet, as you said, the Rockies are a few games over that 500 mark.
Yep, exactly right. And I thought, you know, at this point, Chris Bryant might be that leader offensively. And he has, what, four RBIs and no homers, and now he's hurt. So, and that probably explains a little bit of his slow start. I think he was probably a little more pain than he let on to begin the season. But, you know, he hasn't done a whole lot. Brendan Rodgers is off to a terrible start, although he was much better yesterday.
Yeah.
McMahon has, you know, two home runs where you think he might have a few more than that. So guys really haven't gotten going yet, and yet they're winning games, coming from behind, having big first innings like they did yesterday. So winning in different ways with different guys without yet a bunch of guys hitting their stride. So I'm very optimistic about this team moving forward as well as that first month.
Jerry, talk to us about Brendan Rodgers a little bit. Like you said, he's been struggling mightily, but you sometimes you need to go up against a bad team in the Reds, and we know how much of baseball, how much of hitting is confidence. Just seeing it, you know, to use another sports analogy, seeing the ball go through the hoop a couple of times. Tell me, in your experience, how likely is it that yesterday's outing could actually carry over for Rodgers?
Yeah, I think that happened that way last year with Rodgers. At a slow start when he finally was healthy, I think he came back in May last year after being on the injury list and had a tough first month of the season. And then he hit a home run, and it just kind of ignited things, and he was just terrific. He was one of the best players on the team offensively in the second half of the season. So that's the way a lot of guys go. And you look at Brendan Rodgers, and I think I've said this to you before, Brady, you look at batting practice, he just looks like that total stud. He looks like the third pick in the draft that he was several years ago and has this immense offensive talent. And then when he got in the game, it just wasn't translating. Found yourself down 0-2. You know, you get a great pitch, you foul it off. You hit a rocket right at somebody. All those things kind of piled up for Brendan, where he went up to plate thinking, what bad is going to happen to me next? And now that he got those two hits yesterday, really drove the ball, the one where he cleared the bases with that double, I think that might ignite him. That might get him going again mentally. Physically, certainly, but probably more mentally than anything.
Yeah, I know that would be huge if they could get some consistent production from him. We're talking to Jerry Schimmel, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Jerry, CJ Cron has just been unbelievable. I think, what is he, second in the National League in home runs? He's up there in RBI, I think third or so. But my goodness, every time I think maybe he's going to have a night off here for one month at least, he has been unbelievable.
Hasn't he, though? I mean, that's the kind of player that he was last year at home, and he's got to translate up to the road a little better, and the home stats are much better than on the road already this year. But now this is just a big, strong guy, Brady, that just when he gets his pitch, he just doesn't miss it. And if you make a mistake with a guy, it is going to be a mistake. I mean, hit a line drive homer again over the weekend and a couple rockets to center field that were caught. So he's amazing. He really is. I watch him in batting practice, I don't think I've seen a stronger guy. I mean, just he puts on a show in batting practice, and it translates into a game. He doesn't have to, he's got a quick stroke. He doesn't have to load up. I mean, he's just so strong and quick that the ball just jumps off his bat. It's really been fun to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jerry Schimmel joining us, talking some Rockies. The Rockies get that first month done with a winning record. And I'm just, you know, again, Jerry, you look at the month, and, you know, some teams have some decent records. Some are a few games over 500. You can only take so much from one month of baseball, but just looking ahead at the schedule coming up in this month of May for the Rockies, you know, save for a couple of series against San Francisco, you got the Mets in there, Miami's in there. There's a lot of winnable series this month where I'm looking at it going, man, I really like their chances to stay above that 500 mark even as we bust through the month of May.
Yep, I'm with you. You know, look at the schedule, and again, you never know how it could play out.
Sure.
I think baseball is as unpredictable as any sport can be, and any team can beat another. And the Reds aren't going to go at this. They're not going to win, you know, 20 games. They're going to be much better than their record is right now. But at the same time, you look at that schedule and say, yeah, winnable series for sure, starting with this road trip. Well, starting with the other three games in the homestand with the Nationals, who I think have lost 9 of 11, something like that. And they have some injury situations. And then you're on the road and you play Arizona, the team that's behind you in the division and not have much offense at all. I'm still trying to figure out, Brady, how they won 10 or 11 games. They're hitting 170 as a team, something like that,
wow.
160. They just have no offense. They're getting some pitching, obviously, but so yeah, you look at the schedule, and there's definitely some winnable series there. And what you've got to do is just you try to take, and I know this is an old adage, but you take it one day at a time, concentrate on that game, and hopefully you win 4 out of 7. And if you win 4 out of 7 every 7 games, you have 90 wins. So I think that's the way the team looks at it. They want to set the world on fire, but we're a better team this year. We're playing well together. Some guys haven't hit their strides. Our top two pitchers have one win between them. There's some good stuff coming up for us as well.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And I think if, you know, Rockies listeners right now, Rockies fans, got to be kind of pumped up about that notion that maybe you're not getting your best out of your top two pitchers right now. You're not seeing your best out of some of the off-season acquisitions and things like that. So and yet you're 13 wins. So I'm with you, Jerry. You're getting me excited, man. I'm not jumping on Tanner's bandwagon bus or whatever the heck he's calling that thing, but I am very optimistic, especially this month. You'd string 2 months in a row, I think then you start to have some believers coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah, I think so too. I believe that, and I know this team thinks that too. And you know, I think one of the real keys for this group is that the starting pitching is solid as a group. They just, if they get injuries or they get beyond the eight ball physically, they don't have a lot of depth. And so that, I think that's a big factor. But if that starting rotation, the 5 or 6 that you're going to see all year long, are able to take the ball every fifth day, I think you got the makings of a really surprising team this year, because I think they're going to hit. They're going to be better on the road offensively than they were last year. I think you can see that already. Randall Grichuk is a great acquisition. I know that people were a little upset when they traded a popular player away, but Grichuk is the real deal. So, especially defensively, I don't know if you saw that catch he made yesterday, but it was one of the best catches I've ever seen. So, yeah, it's a fun team to be around, and they're all that way. They're all upbeat, Brady. They're all there's no what I call turds on the team that I used to. You know, you get a guy that wouldn't cooperate, didn't like the media, didn't get along with his teammates, and but you just don't have that in that clubhouse anymore. And I think that's by design. That's intentional. You kind of, you know, weed some guys out and get guys in there that want to play and want to enjoy each other. And I think that's what this team looks like right now.
I think that's a great point. I mean, it does seem like this group is together. There's not any of this, you know, will he be here next year? Will he be here in the next? I mean, you had that with Trevor Story, too. I mean, you had it with Nolan Arenado. Mm-hmm. You had it with Trevor Story. So you've had several years of just wondering when your stars are going to get enough or whatever. And you're right, Jerry. It doesn't feel that way at this point. Okay, what do you think? I decided to go with Kyle Freeland this week from last week. My Red Wing Shoes Player of the Week. What do you think? Is he the most deserving Rocky from the last week?
I would probably put him there. Yeah, two good starts. You know, actually threw, like you said, pretty well in Philadelphia. It's hard to push out CJ Cron or Randall Grichuk right now. But if you're looking for a position player, I would probably say Cron. But Kyle Freeland is, yeah, back-to-back, really good, really impressive starts. I don't line that pick at all, my friend.
I figured Cron, with the way he's going, is going to get there a lot. So, and maybe Freeland will get there too. But you know what? I had a tough time with that going back and forth. But we landed on Freeland. We landed on pitching. I like pitchers, so I'm a sucker there, I suppose.
I think you made a great choice. Plus, he's even wealthier now. He signed that 5-year contract last week. So yeah, so there you go. I think that's a great choice.
Jerry Schimmel, man, always appreciate you. Love catching up with you each and every week. And you know what? I love it. The Rockies are fun right now. And I know that Philly series, it was weird. Was it windier there than it was here in Colorado, Jerry? I mean, my goodness.
It was incredibly windy. Yeah, it was incredibly windy. And in Philadelphia, that wind swirls. Here, it's pretty predictable. You can kind of see where the wind is going. But in Philadelphia, it was so windy. It was up to 42 miles an hour the one day, and on the average, it was 30. I mean, that by itself is crazy. But the way that stadium is designed, the wind just it swirls inside. So you got one flag going one way, one flag going the other. You got the national anthem on the field. That flag on the field is going a different direction. You had flags going three different directions, and players are trying to figure out how to play the wind. It was just and it was cold and it was wet. I mean, those aren't excuses because both teams play in them. But the biggest thing with that series is it was just one of those things that happened sometimes. He had come home after all those errors and that sloppy play and just played a great defensive series against the Reds at home. So, yeah, a little bit of an aberration, but, yeah, the wind and the weather was not helping anybody in Philadelphia.
What do you think of this outfield? And I know they were, you know, that wind caused them fits last week for the Rocks. I heard a lot of national guys and a lot of Denver guys saying, you know, and writing about, oh, this outfield's not going to be, is not great. It's atrocious. I was impressed with the outfield really leading up to the Philly series. But what are your thoughts, Jerry, from someone that's with this group each and every day?
You know, I think when you when you're able to put Grichuk and Daza in the outfield, you got two of the better defensive outfielders in the game, in my mind. Chris Bryant's still adapting; he's going to play full time in the outfield now, and he's probably more comfortable in the infield than he is in the outfield. But he's learning, and then Charlie Blackmon is still getting it done. Charlie's still moving pretty good, so I like the defense in the outfield. Connor Joe is a good solid left fielder. So I think it's a strength, especially when late in the ball game you have a lead, you want to put defense in there, you put Daza in one of those spots. I think you got a terrific defensive outfield. So I think anybody who says that the outfield isn't good for the Rockies probably isn't watching this team on a regular basis.
I was gonna say the exact same thing. I mean, I know the Philly series was bad, but for the rest of the month, I saw the opposite of that. So I don't think you could take four games and assess a position group. So I'm with you 100%, Jerry, my man. What time do you guys get rocking and rolling tomorrow? Getting back at it on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. 6:40, first pitch tomorrow night, so Rockies on deck at 6 o'clock, and they got the Nationals coming to town, so it should be a good series. Those two teams always seem to battle well in a series, so I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see if they can start this month off on the right foot, get another series win. We'll have it for you guys tomorrow on KFK. Jerry, appreciate you as always, my man.
All right, Brady, thanks for having me.
All right, Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies. And the Rocks get set to take on the Nationals tomorrow. We will have coverage for you beginning at 6 o'clock and then 6:40, that first pitch. We'll see Herman Marquez go to the mound against Eric Feedy. So 1:21 the time. We'll take a short break, Jades. We're going to get to today in the NFL. You're not going to want to miss that. Top NFL stories on my mind. I'm also going to look at the AFC West, too. Did the AFC West get better through the draft? Did the Broncos remain the same? Or are we concerned about the Broncos' competitiveness in that division? Or did they do enough in the offseason to really think they might be the favorite? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
You're breaking out the WWE today. All right. Do you know who this is? Do you know whose theme song this was? You do? Who is it, Jade? Come on.
Steve Austin.
There you go.
Stone Cold.
All right. All right. I'm proud of you. You're not a big WWE guy, though, are you?
No, and it doesn't say it right on the...
Oh, so you just knew.
Yeah,
I knew. How did you know? Did you ever see some matches or,
you know,
you just heard it or what?
I'm the all-knowing.
That, I'll tell you what, man. That is one of the sports, I guess, that I do miss that I don't watch anymore. Like, I was all into that in the 90s, early 2000s. But I think once you just get out of it and then stop, it's hard to get back in. I mean, when I started watching it, I was little. Like, I was a little kid. So I still kind of was under the impression that it was again, it's very real. I don't want to say it's not real. What they do is real. These guys are athletes. The outcome, of course, is predetermined. And the hits, a lot of that stuff. But the stuff that they're flying off of and nailing, I mean, these guys are stuntmen. They're amazing at what they do.
You didn't think it was scripted?
When I was a kid. And then as you got a little older, like weird stuff happening, and you're like, wait, what? The Ministry of Darkness? The Undertaker's like sacrificing Stephanie McMahon on a cross in the middle of the ring. Surely that's not legal. That was wacky, dude.
It's WWE Day today because we had a brawl in the Warriors game. There we go.
Did. Yeah, well, that one, see? That basketball, see, the way that they take fouls now and act like they're, you know, dying. My thing on Twitter now is whenever a guy gets fouled and, like, LeBron acts like he's dead, I always just tweet, dude, he's lucky he's alive right now. That foul, that hip thrust really looks like it about killed him. He's lucky to be alive. Jades, let's get to it, man. I don't have a lot today, but I have a couple of things I want to hit. Today in the NFL, let's get to it. Boom. All right, Tyrann Mathieu is on the move. We saw it. Sounded like it was picking up some steam. A source confirmed to ESPN that the Saints have agreed to a contract with the all-pro safety, which is good news for Broncos fans. Get him out of here. They don't have the details yet, but Tyrann Mathieu is gone and now a Saint. And then this one, I just kind of a, you know, this was the guy that just kept on going, man. Nick Foles. The Bears officially released Nick Foles after two seasons. Have we seen the last of old Nicholas Foles? I mean, this is the guy that as soon as you count him out, he comes right back. He's got a Super Bowl win. That team was so good, and Carson Wentz and all this, and you thought, well, with him down, no way Foles is going to do it. But Foles comes out, and remember that run he went on? He was Mr. Playoffs. He was like Joe Flacco, kind of. Remember how good Joe Flacco was in the playoff run, the special year they won the Super Bowl? I mean, Nick Foles had some of that magic. Started seven games in 2020. He only had one start last season. The Bears won that game that he started in. They beat the Seahawks. He threw for 250 yards and a touchdown pass. The Bears will officially save $3 million against their salary cap with the move. What is next for Nick Foles? He had that Pro Bowl year. He had a Pro Bowl year in 13, and then 17 was when he did his thing and helped Philly. Got that Super Bowl championship, led the franchise to its first Super Bowl championship. That was a crazy year for Eagles fans. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day, just looking at this story, Jades. Like, for the Broncos, when they won their Super Bowls, they were led by two legendary quarterbacks, you know, John Elway and Peyton Manning. And we all kind of know that that year wasn't really about Manning, but still, Manning built that foundation for 4 years that helped attract a lot of players to want to come there. So, I mean, again, it was all centered around the quarterback at the end of the day. For Philadelphia, it's like you're building this up. You had a pretty good defense. Carson Wentz is the guy. And then suddenly, it's Nick Foles. That's a strange Super Bowl. It is, because Foles, before and after, really wasn't much of a quarterback. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, I want to get into some of this stuff. The NIL deal. Now, this is, you know, a lot of people talking about this more and more, that it's getting out of hand, that it's going crazy, that, you know, there's no regulation. Well, I was sent from the arch nemesis of the show, Dixon, sent me something over the weekend to look at. And it's from Aaron Taylor, and I will play it. We have time. Of course, Aaron Taylor's with CBS Sports. I've watched a lot of his games. I've watched a ton of his college football and NFL games that he does, his analyst games. He was a Super Bowl champ, all that stuff. I mean, he is a hell of a guy. I'm a big fan of his. Always have been. He had a lot to say about the NIL stuff going on in college sports, and then I want to play it, and then I'll react on the other side. Here it is. Here's Aaron Taylor.
Hey, college football. It's time to wake the fudge up. Empires don't stay empires forever. They crumble from within, and almost always after great runs of dominance. We're at a tipping point, y'all. What's taking place right now behind the scenes in the NIL world is despicable, and it's dangerous, and it's irresponsible. And this ain't about the kids getting theirs. Student athletes have always deserved a bigger piece of the pie. This is about the adults in the room. It's always been about the adults in the room, which is how we got the sham notion of amateurism in the first damn place. This is about the institutions and the donor bases and the development departments and the extremely successful men and women that make up that population. But this win by any means necessary mentality is a poison. It's termites, and those termites are eroding the fabric and foundation of what makes this sport the greatest on the planet. There's an old saying that no matter how far down the wrong road you've gone, turn around. Unfortunately for us, I think the genie's out of the bottle, and we can't get this toothpaste back in the tube, but we can pull the damn car over, catch our breath, orient ourselves, and figure out a responsible way for everybody to win that is in the best interest of our sport. Because what we're doing now ain't, and we better figure that out.
All right, I'm going to get kind of an assessment of that coming back. But first, reaction. I mean, I was sent this story as if I disagreed with what the man was saying. I don't disagree. I've been saying this since it was legal, that it needs to be better organized, that it needs to be better regulated. Like, what we're doing in Northern Colorado is not an issue. And if you think it is, then you're silly sauce, man. And I know that a lot of these videos and a lot of people are talking about what's happening on the national level. And we're talking about millions of dollars. I mean, we're talking about thousands of dollars here for guys to do radio shows and talk about the sports. I'm not talking mega thousand, you know, endorsement deals. There is a balance to strike. I've said that from day one. But you know why you didn't strike the damn balance? You want to know why? Because the NCAA sat on their hands for the last 20 years. They didn't want to even attend. They wanted to punish people for selling a damn autograph. If they would have regulated this from the beginning, we wouldn't be in this mess. Do not blame student athletes for this. I 100% am behind them making money off of their name and image. And I'm not going to get into that today because I've had that argument. I've had people come at me, well, Brady, I guess that college education isn't enough. I guess the scholarship isn't. I don't want to get into that. I've done it enough, guys. They should be able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. They should be able to get jobs. They are able to work now. We're kind of making that so. And again, the NIL stuff's working. These guys are, you don't think David Roddy was working when he was here doing radio shows for us? We'd plan it out, talk about what we're going to go over. He's going to open up and talk about his teams. And it was easy work. I'm not saying it was hard. He'll tell you the same thing. It wasn't hard. But it was a commitment. And some of this stuff can be very, very good, very beneficial. But I do agree. On the national scale, players are being baited by NIL deals. That's wrong. But that's the way it is going to go down. Because the NCAA sat on their you-know-whats, just about same thing as this transfer portal. Instead of busting their butts and trying to make it work and find a balance, they said, no, we don't want them to be able to transfer without sitting out a year. We don't want them to make a dime off of their name, image, or likeness. We're not going to do any of that stuff. Instead, we're going to bury our heads in the sand, and we're just going to let it fester until it festered so much that it actually went to the highest of courts. And they said, this is wrong. Guy can't sign his name and get paid for it? This is asinine. So they went extreme. NIL's legal. It wouldn't have gone as far if the NCAA would have got off their ass. But here we are. This is your fault, college sports. This is your fault. Players should be able to earn. How much, when those conversations are happening, all of that. should it have been through the school? Yeah, probably should have been through the school. If you, hey, David Roddy, if you want an NIL deal, here's our NIL person at CSU. Go talk to him. All deals must be put through to her or him. No under the tables. None of that stuff. Not going directly to David. But it, and listen, I'll admit it. I tell you from my experience, I go directly to the players. I talk to the players directly. If I don't have an ideal with them to get interviews on this station, I put out a request to the SIDs or whatever. But when I'm working on NIL deals, when we are working on NIL deals here at the station, we reach directly out to the kids. I actually disagree with that method, but that is the method. I think that it should be an agent within the school. That way you're not getting a dealership saying, hey, kid, come to CSU this year and I'll make sure you have $1 million. And I'm just using a hypothetical. There's not millions being thrown around here. Come to CSU next year and we'll put you $1 million in for an NIL deal. No, what needs to happen is that dealership needs to go to the rep and the rep can say, no, can't use that to entice a kid to come here. Sorry, cannot do that. And then if the kid signs a deal outside of that CSU deal with that agent, then they get in trouble and they have to suffer the consequences. Don't you think that makes sense? This is what should have happened from the beginning. Every school has to, if you want to do it, if you're going to offer it at your school, they should have done that. But now it's illegal to do that, right? Because as he said, he used like 45 different analogies. By the way, he could be Thanos. He sounds just like him. Great voice. The toothpaste is out of the tube. So you can't go back and try to regulate. I mean, you can maybe. But you went that high up into the judicial system where they said, no, you can't punish these kids for individually making money. When it should have been 20 years ago, 10 years ago, hey, I'm Sheila. I'm the NIL director at the University of Northern Colorado. If you want an NIL deal, it has to go through me. I'm not going to approve or disapprove necessarily finances, but I have to go through the way things are being done. They cannot try to entice you to come to school with an NIL deal. If you go and do your own deal by yourself, you will get in trouble. But you can't do it now. You can't go back and do it now. It's a tough deal. It's a tough situation. I've said it from the get-go. I think the transfer portal is okay too, but also needs to be better regulated. There has to be some kind of balance for just getting up and leaving your school. I get that. You know, I get that coaches are different than players. I do understand. These guys are, coaches are in it for the long haul. Well, some of them are. I understand. There needs to be a better balance being struck here, and it's just not happening. 40 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
About this stuff for a while, like the NIL deals and transfer portals, and I see everybody's side in this deal. I do. I see, you know, my good friend Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. I love that guy. That guy's an amazing dude. But he 100% disagrees with all of it. I'm pretty sure, and just my conversations with him. You know, transfer portal jacked up CU big time. Jacked up Nevada too. But like, that's what's crazy about Nevada. It's like you went there probably because Jay Norvell or Matt Mummy recruited you, right? And then they leave. And you're like, damn, I would have not come here had it not. I mean, it's Nevada. I would have not committed to this place had I known Jay Norvell and Matt Mummy weren't going to be there. Now, it used to be if you transfer, you got to sit out a year. Is there a balance to strike? Is there something that, can you be given an extra year of eligibility, but you have to sit out a year, but you can be given another year? So it's like a red shirt transfer. Now, some would say, well, you're still getting the same amount. You're not really punishing them. Well, to a 20-year-old that wants to play in the league, you got to wait another year if you transfer from Bama to Michigan or something like that. But you get another year of eligibility, but that's a decision you have to make. Can you earn an NFL career based on another season or two, or do you think you need that second year of eligibility? Because I've always, my problem with the whole thing of transferring and then sitting out, like, what if they have a legitimate reason to transfer out? Like, what if their coach isn't, you know, he's not a nice guy? Yeah, he's just a jerk. What, or bad things are going on, or whatever. He treats you like crap. It's worse than just coach treat you like crap, too. It's worse than that. You have a legitimate reason. Maybe you ran into a bad crowd in that school. Maybe you have a really bad situation and you just want to restart. It's like life. We do that as adults outside of college. Can't do it in college. Point is, what if it's a real legitimate reason? So you've only got, maybe you already played a year. You got to go sit out a year. And now you got maybe 2 years of eligibility left. Let's say you're a pretty good quarter or you're a pretty good player, but you're right on the bubble. You're right on the bubble. And you can't really get to that next stage, but you need another year or two. That's my problem with it. I think that the portal and NIL, I do like it. I really do. Obviously, we like it here. But it needed to be regulated. I don't know that you can go back and regulate it. I don't know that you can. I just don't know how. And this is something the NCAA should have had figured out a long time ago. 47 minutes after the hour. How did the AFC West fare over this last, you know, the draft period and the offseason stretch? Are the Broncos the front runner at this point? Did get a text from Dixon. For what it's worth, the draft experts didn't like the Broncos draft at all. Thought they drafted guys way too early for their value. I mean, this is supposed to be George Payton's wheelhouse. So I still trust him until proven otherwise. Kind of like Nico Medved. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll wrap up on the other side. Let's look at it quickly. The Raiders made a lot of big offseason moves, but didn't have a strong draft because they didn't draft until the third. The Chargers, they did well, and I think the Chiefs did pretty well for what they were needing. They had those two first-round picks. We'll talk about that next, and we'll get to what's on TV tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, I think a salary cap is interesting. NIL salary cap. Holyoke texting in. I've thought about that too. Do you just cap it and say no student athlete may make more than X amount per year? And I mean, for us here, like, what is that number? Do you look at it and say, because I mean, the millions are crazy. And I don't like to cap necessarily because I like earning. I'm a big fan of earning. Make money. Do it while you can. But you got to start preventing some of this stuff. Like, what's happening? And again, we don't even know half of the stories that are out there. Like, I'm not experiencing a lot of, like, deceit and bad stuff. I don't see it. I've talked to businesses that have joked before. Seriously joked, hey, if he stays, we got money for him. And I don't go and tell those student-athletes that kind of stuff. I say, hey, we're going to work on finding sponsors for your NIL deal. You want to do a segment? You want to do this? Whatever? Yeah, I'm in. If we can find somebody, cool. All right, perfect. Has nothing to do with them, like, staying here or not. But, like, could you theoretically go to... I know I want to get to the AFC West. If we don't have time, we can get to it tomorrow. Could you theoretically just say, hey, $30,000 a year is the max. You cannot go over that. So every deal you do has to be issued through compliance. And if you don't, then you could suffer some pretty severe consequences. How do you begin to regulate it? That's what's crazy is you didn't regulate it before. It crept up on you and was, bam, made legal. And you were caught with your pants down. The NCAA was caught with their pants down. What's on the tube tonight? You got round two continuing. The start of round two in the NBA. Still hurts to say that without the Nuggets being in the mix. The first time in the Malone era that the Nuggets have not been in the second round of the playoffs. Pretty cool, I guess. Not this year, but he has done a good job leading up to it. Philadelphia and Miami going at it. Ooh, that's a scary situation with Joel Embiid, man. Whew. And then Dallas and Phoenix. Philly and Miami playing at TNT at 5:30. And then Dallas and Phoenix, they're the late game on TNT at 8 o'clock. What is that Philly situation look like? I like Phoenix tonight in the West. Miami's 7.5-point favorites because of the situation with Philly. So Miami has a heck of an opportunity here. We'll see what happens. It's going to do it for us. We got Betting Across America coming up next. And then the one and only Brian Gary, the Good Afternoon Guy, coming up at 3 o'clock. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.